Howdy, folks. Welcome to the CallCast with your hosts, Casey and Luke. Fuck off, people. You're on the CallCast.
All right.
Should we start?
Yeah. I'm supposed to do that first.
I should probably pull up some. My phone was acting funny. I'm just trying to pull up some stuff that I had bookmarked. Besides the swingers' nights. I mean, besides the sex clubs. God, I mean, the. What are we talking about? Are we on?
I say swinger sex club. I was trying to say it. Sorry.
sorry, excuse me. I'm trying to be uncouth. I meant to get all of that out. Of my mouth. At once.
Welcome to the CallCast.
Welcome to my CallCast, people.
So, want some good news, Casey?
I want... Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Good news, that'll do.
You want to pull up the squiggly lines and see if it's still pulling up my voice from this? Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, I noticed that my foot was tapping it. I didn't want that to be an issue.
So, what you got for me, Lucas?
Well, the good news is, you know how Bernie Sanders was,
Oh, I knew it couldn't be local.
Yeah, of course not. You know how Bernie Sanders was accidentally, quote-unquote, left off the ballot in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they fixed that.
How so? They got a time machine?
No, they just, the Democratic National Committee decided they didn't want the headache and just decided to put them on there anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be our April Fool's Day recording, folks. That being said, I'm not going to fucking throw one goddamn bullshit, goddamn motherfucking spoof article through this entire thing because I fucking hate April Fool's Day. Fuck that shit. I did see a story earlier today, and this is fake, that told us that Brownback was resigning amidst lawsuits coming from left, right, and the other.
Oh, man.
And I got real excited for just a second. That's why I fucking hate April Fool's Day. Fuck you motherfuckers. I want real news. I'm addicted to the truth. You know how hard it is to get to the goddamn truth in the first place? Ugh. Let's make it harder one day a year. And the internet slows down because every fucking website's got to be funny. Cornhub. Jesus Christ. I'm not even seeing corn when I'm trying to get off.
I think it's funny, too, because it's like the one day a year people check to see if what they're reading online is true or not.
Huh? That's funny. You give them a lot of credit there, Luke.
Well, that's the one day people are actually suspicious of what they're reading. Yeah, so I thought that was good news, though.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of good. Oh, yeah.
That is pretty good. Oh, yeah? What else do you have?
Well, let's just go into all the April Fool's pranks that went wrong.
Oh, yeah, this was really bad.
The Google drop the mic Gmail.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that for everyone, because that was a huge, just a... So, a farce of a farce.
Yeah, so basically right next to the send button, they put a mic drop button so that...
Which damn near has cost people their jobs at this point.
Basically, whatever you said last was just like... the drop the mic button made it to where it would insert into the email message animation of a character dropping the mic, and then it would mute the email conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't see anything else that person said.
So, if you respond to your boss's email, and you say, okay, sure thing, and you hit that button instead of the other one, a little minion from the movie, from the Despicable Me is going to pop up and go, poof, mic drop. And it's going to drop a mic, and then all of a sudden, they can't respond to your fucking email. Now, if they dug a little, they would be able to find it, but it's not going to just automatically pop up a notification to respond to it like we're used to. Anyone that's familiar with Gmail understands how much of a pain in the ass it is if you accidentally turn off a notification for something and then you have to go find it, filter through all the other archived crap and what. This was Google. Fuck. We rely too heavily on you guys. Don't pull this kind of crap.
Where?
Yeah, I'm an old man. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, though. Some of the examples were like, yeah, I don't know.
What?
One user complained, I've been interviewing with this company for 3 months now and mistakenly sent the email to directly to who? The HR. So, that was funny.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Costing people their jobs and shit over this. Yeah. Which is really, I mean, don't get me wrong, you should be a little more cautious when you're sending emails, especially when it could cost you a job. But this is stupid, people. Dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb.
Yeah, somebody, oh, who was it? Somebody posted on Twitter a picture of, like, what could go wrong, and it was, like, funeral arrangements for Kate, email chain, and then somebody did the drop the mic. Melanie, we're sorry to hear about the tragic loss of your dog. Just talking, like, from the funeral home or something. Ouch. It was pretty funny. Yeah, well. So that was pretty funny. Everybody was really pissed about that, and then Gmail had to immediately remove it. Did you, did you see anything about the John Stamos prank stuff?
Well, like I said earlier, every one of the websites that I visit on a daily basis runs slower on April 1st because they've got to adapt it to some stupid-ass fucking... Yes, John Stamos was all over fucking Netflix for no good reason. Who cares?
Yeah, well, and they even went so far as to People Magazine released a video of him... like, flipping out on some receptionist at the Netflix office and, like, breaking shit. And he's like, fuck your Emmys, you know, and just... They went all crazy. Because they had announced, you know, the John Stamos documentary or whatever, and then...
Yeah.
And then they released that, and then, like, today there's another one, like, John Stamos apologizing or whatever.
Jesus.
That was just really silly.
No, there's a, the one that I think actually was funny this year around. Was, this, God bless it, what was it? The,
YouTube?
Yeah! Snoopavision in 360.
Yeah, I love that. Watch that YouTube was videos with Snoop Dogg.
I actually convinced my wife that that was happening. I mean, I showed her, I was like, well, baby, we should probably watch this in Snoopavision. That's a really good one for that. And she's like, what? And I clicked on the little Snoop Dogg button that was there. And I pulled it up to that website, and I was like, and I just clicked on it just long enough to show her just a little bit of the introduction of the whole concept of 360, and then they cut away to, and I was like, no, 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 it's real, here. And I paused that video and scrolled down and went over to the, what was it, the slow-mo guy's video of the guy in the water balloon, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, see? Yeah, you can now watch everything in 360 with Snoop Dogg. And, like, poor gal. She's just like, oh. Well, that's interesting.
Oh, man.
It's not funny to put... I mean, it's kind of... Okay, it is funny to point out when people are gullible. But
yeah.
It's not funny to prey on the gullible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, it is funny to prey on the gullible. But... It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems to be par for the course, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what capitalism's all about.
Oh, I love my Twizzlers. Alright.
Yeah, there's some really bad ones, though. There's a star with an almost pure oxygen atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was actually real, I think, which is kind of funny.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, some people thought it was a April Fool's prank.
Oh, so there was a Science Alert story about mm-hmm. this star discovered that was almost entirely made of oxygen, and everybody thought it was just bullshit.
Yeah.
Now, are we certain about this? This is why I don't like news when the fucking end of March and the 1st of April. Fucking drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I think the story was reported before April 1st anyway. So, but yeah, Science Mag.
Science. Science. Say it with me, folks. Science. Science.
Whoops. That's why we can't let monkeys in the lab.
Well, there's no monkeys in the lab. No fubar in the car, folks. No fubar in the car.
So.
No fubar in the car, folks. No fubar in the car. All
right. Oh. Google also had a Google Express parachute service, which was shown revolutionizing the delivery industry by using drones and parachutes to deliver a host of unlikely items, ranging from a flaming birthday cake to an axe.
See, like, this isn't... I don't know. Cornhub was funny. It's not like it was any... Like, it slowed down their website for no good reason, but, yeah, they've got good servers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, Yahoo did a joke article that was, saying that Trader Joe's was closing.
No! What is Trader Joe's?
It's kind of like a healthy food store, but not like a... I don't know, it's more like a... Man. You remember that, like, Dock 54 place? It was where Hastings was before Hastings was there?
It's a shit store.
Yeah, they got a bunch of different kinds of shit, but it's, like, kind of hippie shit.
So I got some happy news for you.
What's that?
Speaking of April 1st, this is when it was published out on the New York Times. Outraged by Kansas justices' ruling, Republicans seek to reshape the court. Basically, it's the exact same article that we keep fucking repeating, but... Hey, someone noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Someone noticed in New York, even, that we have the worst governor in the country.
Yeah. Our status as being insane is becoming legendary throughout the country.
Yep.
Really funny.
Yep. Hey.
Do you know where Hillsboro, Kansas is?
A little bit.
Marion County, I guess.
Yep.
just a couple... Well, I guess it was last week now.
Mm-hmm.
They published an editorial by Steve Noble, who is the... I believe he's the school district superintendent for their school district. And he starts the article with, you know, a disclaimer that these thoughts are my own and they do not necessarily represent the thoughts of USD 410 Board of Education faculty and staff.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, you're a person, not an establishment.
Yeah, but what he's going to say is something that he should separate himself from specifically if he's going to be a superintendent, because he talks about the challenges of budget of the budget cuts and stuff, and and he basically makes a plea. He's like, if you're a parent or grandparent of a current student, you've felt the cuts firsthand. Perhaps you've noticed fewer coaches, reduced music opportunities, no cooking classes at the high school, and fewer counseling services. Many of you older parents remember longer school year but shorter days, a town bus route, and block scheduling at the high school. All of these items listed were either cut completely or modified to save money. And so he says, friends of USD 410 and Kansas Public Education, we need your help. Our governor and several of our legislators in Topeka have taken us down the road to ruin. No longer are the income tax cuts imposed in 2012 viewed as an experiment. They are an epic failure.
Let's go ahead and do away with the facade that this was an experiment in the first place. We knew exactly what was going to happen. plenty of economists knew all over the world what was going to happen if we implemented it. Everybody said that this was going to be a disaster, and now it's been proven that it's a disaster. Well, and they are still spouting the same bullshit that everything's fine, just like they said when they fucking started this crap.
Well, and oddly enough, is the effect of their quote-unquote experiment is exactly what lies within their political agenda. So, the idea of strangling government and making it smaller is exactly what they want. And they sold this lie that cutting taxes would magically, you know, spur economy, and that we would have this great boom of free enterprise, you know, and economic.
They basically did a distilled version of trickle down economics. They doubled down on it. They tripled down on it. They said, no, not just trickle-down economics. We're going to go ahead and say, like, full-blown, they get to run everything. Like, this blows my mind. Okay, folks, why are people afraid of socialism? Because they're afraid of the government and the businesses being run by the same people, right? They're afraid that the things that are produced in the country will be produced. I mean, we don't want the government to be the ones producing things, right? And we don't want... Ah, fuck it.
Yeah, I think...
This is exactly what it is. This is the worst parts of socialism, like the corrupt socialism, the communism and the Marxism. Like, not as a philosophy, but as a practice. This is it. This is corruption at its finest.
Yeah, that's the fucking oligarchy, where you have a government controlled by a small group of powerful people. That's what we left England to get away from a fucking feudal system, you know? Like, this is a return from democracy to a more unfair system of governance, where a small group of wealthy people have the power and the poor people have to do what they say and continue to work. And I think, yeah, like, it's important to understand that they did know all along that it wasn't an experiment, and it wasn't really to grow businesses. The entire intent of the tax cut laws were to strangle government, were to deregulate businesses. And that's exactly what they've gotten. The experiment has fucking worked out flawlessly as far as they're concerned, because they've gotten everything they wanted. They've cut the government to the fucking bone. They've cut taxes for enormously wealthy people who make a shit ton of money and pay zero taxes for roads, highways, schools, any government service that you use on a daily basis. And all of that tax burden is shifted to people who buy gas and food to survive.
Yeah, and if you want, let's expand this a little bit more. Let's talk about the successes that Brownback's had. These supposed successes... In fact, fuck you, piece of shit. I'm going to pull up his Twitter account right now.
Yeah.
Hold on.
If we're going to talk about his successes, I think there's going to be crickets chirping.
I'm talking quote-unquote successes. What he views as successes. Let's see. Kansas leading on welfare reform with more employment, higher wages, and dignity of work. Glad others are following in suit. Okay? This is from 3 days ago.
Can I look at it real quick?
Yeah, have at it. I gotta go fucking take a shit on his face. I'll be right back.
Oh, here's a good one. Sam Brownback, response to recent wildfires is a great example of Kansans helping Kansans. Except for, why did he wait 3 days to let the National Guard come and help? Because he doesn't fucking care.
So did you explain to them?
Well, I saw, okay, two things. Number one, the welfare, what he's saying, if you click on the link, it takes you to a Fox News video that is saying that, some states are requiring able-bodied adults to work for welfare, which... You know, is basically like...
This is also another misnomer. We've always had to work for welfare. If you claim unemployment, you have to be actively searching for employment to be claiming that. That's a basic thing around the country. Regardless of that, like, that's... Okay. What I was getting at earlier when I was bringing this up was... For example, the Amazon thing. Kansas welcomes 1,000 new Amazon jobs with the state-of-the-art fulfillment center. Right? And then how many jobs did Amazon pull out of, like, 6 months ago?
2,000.
2,000? Yeah, just wondering. You know, it's the framing, people. Don't let them tell you that Kansas is doing anything worth a shit as far as the government's concerned. They're not. Fuck it.
No, they're not. I'm tweeting Sam Brownback because he tweeted about what a great response it was, or about how Kansans were helping Kansans with the wildfire, and so I'm going to ask him why he waited 3 days to let the National Guard help. Say at Governor Sam Brownback, why wait 3 days to let the National Guard help? I'm going to say they were ready Wednesday. Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of love on Twitter. That's what I love. Oh, gosh. There's a professor that gives him a lot of fucking shit. Igiri? I like this guy. Professor Igiri?
Yeah.
I think I might have to follow him. I'm going to go back to that article from the Hillsborough Free Press. You know, it's gotten so bad to where we have these pleas that I keep seeing in these small town newspapers, pleas for reason, you know, where somebody who is a superintendent of a school district or somebody who works at a college or somebody who's, you know, generally it's not people in the government because there's such a atmosphere of I don't know, if you step out of line, you'll be on your ass basically. So I imagine people inside the government aren't allowed to speak out, you know, about what's going on, but...
You know, Captain Superintendent Pants here is probably not a super lib like we are.
No, he's probably pretty damn right-wing.
He's probably incredibly conservative and would probably sling us fucking... We would probably fucking have absolutely zero in common. Except that we probably agree that the state needs to function.
Yeah. Yeah, we agree there should be governance. That's...
Yeah. We do agree that we're not anarchists.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we're not ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not evolved enough as a people, I think, to get there.
What else should we talk about / entertain these folks with?
Well, he basically tells all these people, like, please contact your legislators. Tell them, he's like, tell them the story of the cuts you've noticed as a parent or grandparent of a student in our schools. We need your help, you know, he's like, tell them the stories, you know, of how their decisions are, you know, affecting you. Make them listen.
See, this is the thing, is that, like, I hate to be Debbie Downer here, but they don't give a fuck about my opinion. I live in Douglas County. They don't give two shits about what my opinion is.
No,
the moment I have anything to say to any of these people that is different than just agreeing with them, if I'm not being a yes man to these motherfuckers, then they're going to mute me on Twitter. They're going to block me. They're going to... They don't give a shit about their constituents whatsoever.
No. No, not at all. And if we were to talk to our representatives, it would, you know, just be fucking preaching to the choir, because they know how fucked up it is. I mean, like, even the conservative people in Douglas County realize it's a shit show. I mean, just all over our state, you know?
Yeah, so seriously, if you're listening in anywhere besides the Kaw Valley, anywhere in Kansas, fucking... Actually do fucking write your legislators. Actually do fucking get them on the phone and call them and talk to them and say, hey, what the hell is going on? Ask them. Ask them why they are passing things that... You know, look it up. There's plenty of things that you can find out what they have and have not passed. It's out there.
Yeah, and you can... You can email them. You can find them on Facebook and on Twitter. I mean, these, you know, some of these people are on social media. They're accessible even from your computer if you choose not to call them on the phone. You know, you can
find these people. Yeah. It's 2016, folks. This is the information age.
You can find anybody and tell them what you want to say.
Well, not just that. If you want the goddamn truth, the media is a failure. If you want the truth, it's incumbent upon you to find the truth. Yeah. If you are aware of the fact that you are being lied to and you don't find the truth anyhow, that's your failing.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Speaking of not trusting the media.
Got an article pulled up from the Daily Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
The Daily OMG. So.
And this is about that gun that you like so much. So, some genius has designed this gun. It looks like an iPhone, except for, like, you fold down a handle off of it.
It looks like any old cell phone with, like, an OtterBox on it. It looks like a typical fucking cell phone. I'm sure you've seen the pictures by now. They've been all over the goddamn internet. I've already had nightmares about this son of a bitch, like, though I was seeing it in person. And it's, you know, we were talking about this before the cameras went on. This is nothing new. This is just a better version of it. People have been hiding their firearms for years and years and years and years and years now. Concealed carry is legal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody gives two shits.
Yeah. And I think...
What gauge is it? I mean, what does it shoot?
Mm-hmm.
Gauge? What caliber is it?
I don't know. It looks pretty small, but...
Yeah, I'm thinking it's like a little 22 or something.
Yeah.
$400 for this motherfucker, huh?
Hmm. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
It's really, really cheap to shoot somebody.
Yeah, that is incredibly cheap to shoot someone.
Man.
$400. Well, and I'm sure all the cops got to go through training now so they can try and identify this motherfucker. All the Secret Service have to know this motherfucker in and out and know exactly what it looks like.
Do you know what's really scary about this?
Assassinations for all of the fucking honest politicians? That's what I think.
I'll tell you what's really, really terrifying about this. You know how the cops shoot black people for...
Oh, yeah!
Pulling their wallet out?
Absolutely! That's the first thing TYT went to when they were covering this story. Now, every single time that anyone reaches for anything, they're just gonna shoot... I mean, they already do that!
And what if you are just filming the cops, they shoot you? Now they have a reason to shoot you for filming them.
They don't need a reason. They don't... They just do it.
This is true.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that, like I've said before, we need an we need an actual paradigm shift. We need an actual change of the idea of what people think is important. And we've already seen it happen in my lifetime. We had a world when I was young where the paradigm was me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It was me, 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 more, more, more. Make me comfortable, make me cool. And the paradigm has shifted to... It's still me, 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 but it's more, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Like, so we can have this paradigm shift again and it not be fear-centric, and it doesn't have to be so fucking scary all the time. We were not this, I mean, I grew up in the fucking middle of the Satan scare, and the fucking, and kidnapping, and razor blades and apples, and shit like that. Everybody was scared of a bunch of shit that never fucking happened when I was a kid, yeah. And it was still way more laid back than this. This is insane. What on earth are we making progress for if not to be better? Yeah. Our lives have not become better because of this. We need to use the information to make our lives actually significantly more relaxed, less stressful. We need to focus more on understanding each other instead of being... Well, maybe this is results of understanding each other. Maybe we do understand each other now, and we're just so... Now that we understand, we're scared.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I'll tell you, like we were talking earlier about, you know, about my defense of... not necessarily being a Luddite, but this, I guess, maybe indigenous mindset where we have to break out of the idea of of taking and not necessarily just owning things, but the idea that we are owed things and, like, I don't know. We need to...
Okay, everyone can identify it in everyone else. Everyone looks around and they see selfish, they see self-deserving, right? Everybody is owed something, right? Mm-hmm. You can see it on everybody else's faces. Why can't we see it on our own? Why can't we turn that fucking mirror around and check our own privileges now and see where we're doing that also?
Yeah.
You know, we as libs do this shit too. I mean, we're not fucking perfect, god damn it. I think we're a lot more right than the right wing. A lot more correct than the right wing on a lot of things. Because facts, hey, you know? But we're not perfect. We get really arrogant. We don't know how to listen very well. And that's all of us. Everyone. We all need to be focusing on listening better. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
And you don't have to agree with them to understand why they're scared. And yeah, it might be racist. Yeah, it might be ignorant. But if you try and understand, then maybe we can do something about it. If you're just mad at them for the sake of it, if you're just mad... Well, that's not going to help.
Yeah, and I think culturally we have really skewed values, and like...
No, we want to be right. Well, we don't want to be...
Yeah.
Aiding and assisting. We don't want to be implementing anything that is for the betterment. We want to be right. We want to be correct.
Well, and this is, like, kind of what I'm getting at, is, like, our idea of, I don't know, our idea of good is winning, you know? And so the whole concept of, like, our motivation in this life isn't necessarily to be in harmony, but to get over on someone else or something, or to take something, or to get for me, you know, like, okay, kind of like what you're saying.
Good, digress for half a second. There's like, or at least for just a, there are two kinds of games in the world. There's an infinite game and there's a finite game. A finite game is something like football, baseball, Super Mario Brothers. These all have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They all have a competition. Either you versus a program or you versus a team. There's always one stepping on another to make themselves better. There's always a competition. There's always a loser and a winner in a finite game. And I prefer personally infinite games. That doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with finite games, but we need to start recognizing that competition is better put on ourselves instead of on others. Not just proving that you're better than someone else, but maybe you can be better than you were just a moment ago.
Well, and even, like, that's what I'm saying, is, like, being, our idea of what's better is wrong. Like, I'm saying, like, maybe what is better is finding yourself to be a part of a functioning whole, you know, like humbling yourself to nature and to, you know, and to exist in harmony as much as possible. And that, you know, is, I don't know, like the whole idea of just taking more hasn't ever gotten us happiness, you know, and we've been really obsessed with it as a culture for a really long time. Like,
I've heard it put, one man with six beers is not as happy as six men with one beer.
Yeah, but it just, we're all drunks. That's our problem. Our society is alcoholics.
And this is what I'm saying. Would you rather? Most people these days, they respond to that with a knee-jerk response of, yeah, unless you're that first guy. Unless you're the guy with the beer. Well, is it better?
Yeah.
Is it better? Okay, maybe three guys with two beers.
Yeah, my honest Who answer gives a would shit? Probably be two guys with three beers.
No, but... no, and that's fine. And that's an honest answer and it makes sense. But like...
But when I was an alcoholic, I probably would have taken the six for myself.
Exactly.
And culturally we are. We're drunks.
Yeah, absolutely. Every single one of us and about everything. It's not just alcohol. It's everything. It's every fucking step along the way. I have to be better. I have to have. I have to have. I have to be. I have to be. It's fucking, it's, no, you know, I know we're hippies.
To an idea of success, you know, that is a fucking false fucking god. It's just, it doesn't make you happy to get more stuff. It doesn't make you happy to get more money. It doesn't make you happy to get over on
Talk
somebody.
About Leonard Cohen's, or not Leonard Cohen, I'm sorry, Leonard Orr's Rebirthing in the New Age. It's a really corny book from way back in the day, which spawned the idea of rebirthing, which nobody these days has any concept of what it actually really means. It really actually... means
reliving birth trauma,
which sounds way cornier than you could possibly. I mean, it is a really it's almost a trope these days. It's almost a meme of corniness. But there's if you actually read the original book about it, and the guy who came up with the concept and who just he's a really weird motherfucker, but he came up with a lot of this on his own, and it's not... Where was I going with this? God damn it. But he's constantly talking about... And who gives a shit about birth trauma or not? But he's constantly talking about how when we're born, we get cut off from oxygen, from our mother, from any source of comfort immediately, and we're shaken around and wrapped up in this, that. And I mean, we're not allowed to just be born and just hang out and chill for a little bit. But
those first thoughts and feelings inform all of your other thoughts and feelings.
That part to me makes sense, is that, like, you know, first impressions mean a lot, and trauma really, I know for a fact, really, it hurts, it lasts, it has staying power. And so...
Well, it's just your basic coding is rotten.
What I'm getting to is... Our first idea when we come into the world is, I can't get enough, and we don't have the language and we don't have the capacity to understand what that means or what it is that we don't have enough of, whether it is oxygen, whether it is mom, whether it is comfort, whether it is milk, whether it is this just hurt and I can't get enough. I don't know. But that's the feeling that we're all introduced the moment we walk into this world. And... You know, there's a lot to be meditated on there. And honestly, folks, I think that we can come away from that. I think that we can come away if we can start helping each other along the way. Like, this doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without help. You can't just be okay with life and without assistance from your loved ones. So, be there for each other, folks. I know. Yeah, I'm getting corny. But it's the goddamn truth.
We really have to fucking constantly evaluate, like, you just kind of have to always check yourself, because it's an easy pattern to fall into to try to find happiness in consumption, and...
It's not gonna happen.
No, it doesn't. Like, creating or being a part of unified things, I mean, there is places to find happiness, but...
Happiness is not my goal, personally. Joy. Happiness is honestly... If you guys haven't seen the Deadpool movie, it, like, he says it really well, ironically, being that it's just a shit show of comedy and dick fart humor, much like the Caucast. But he makes the comment of, and I paraphrase, he says something about, you know, happiness is a fleeting moment in life, and then the rest is just shit. Happiness is like a fleeting commercial, and then you go back to the regularly scheduled programming. Well, and that's why I don't think that that's maybe where we should be focusing all of our energy on. You know, just be okay with the way things are.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
And what be not okay with the way things are. That's absolutely, don't be okay with the way things are. But be grateful for what you are for what you have, what you do have.
And I think, you know, when I talk about, like, the indigenous mindset and, like, indigenous peoples, like, it's not that they're wandering around in the forest in a state of joy, but you exist in a state of contentment, and then you have moments of joy, you know, and that is kind of the goal, is, like, finding contentment, because...
Well, contentment comes when we're grateful.
Yeah, and I think...
Because if we're not grateful for what is, then... And I feel like people need to understand that it's... What's more important? Ownership or access? Well, it's 2016, folks. You've got access to anything you need. What do you need, folks? Get off your butt. You can get it. You know you can if you really want to. At least anything reasonable. And so... So tell me, you really, 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 really want to work the rest of your life just for someone else? Nah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Let's all work for ourselves. Let's all work harder at being more grateful for what we are, for what we have, and for our access, for our ability to get farther, to make progress. I mean, for fuck's sake, folks, we may be seeing some of the most corrupt politics of our life. I mean, it's just horribly apparent, but that's a good thing.
Because we're seeing it.
It's apparent, folks. Yeah. Did you ever think when you were young that this was going to happen? Did you ever think that we would come to the time where you would be able to, at the even the slightest bit, have someone running for presidency who's calling out people? Who's really, truly calling them out. Not even like, I mean, don't get me wrong, JFK's the shit, but not even just JFK calling them out. It's like, we need to be better Americans, you know? No, it's like, no, fuck those motherfuckers. They sold us out. We want our money back.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? We're getting somewhere with the truth and honesty and integrity. It's happening, folks. But you need to get involved. You need to help out. Bernie Sanders isn't running for office. We are running for office.
Yeah, I mean, and he's even said it. You can't expect anything to change if
he gets into office and everybody just goes home and scratches their ass, we're fucked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's like, if you don't continue to vote and vote for people who aren't corrupt, like, nothing will change. And the only way we're going to get corrupt politicians out and not corrupt people to run is by calling out the corrupt politicians publicly. And
call them out.
Some of us are going to have to step up to the plate and do a job.
It's uncomfortable.
It's probably going to suck for somebody.
Yep.
But it's still got to be done. And that person gets to go down as in history as somebody who wasn't a fuck-up.
You know, so I'd like to say I'm rather proud of my wife for now being the local secretary treasurer of the local Amalgamated Transit Union. This is essentially a volunteer job. And she's going to add at least 5 hours of work to her load every week. And Lord knows she's got a heavy load already. She deals with me. And she's adding on to that. She's adding on to that because she knows how important it is to be part of a union that works.
Yeah. Well, the union works for you, you know, that's the way it's supposed to work. And fuck, man, I would love to have a union gig.
Speaking of union gigs, is everybody aware of how Justice Scalia dying is really good for the unions? Right now?
I am.
Okay, cool. And since we're all really big fans of, like, dancing on graves and, you know, pointing out the good parts of people dying, let's go ahead and go forward with this and talk about how that motherfucker, that fat piece of slime that died just recently, he was anti-union, and because of his position, there was a holdup on, I can't remember what the case was, but basically, let's just sum it up and say, scabs have been forced to pay for, in certain places, some union fees because they're making the benefits of the unions without having to participate in the union. Well, you don't have to fucking participate. But you're not getting the, you know, like, morally speaking, you shouldn't get the raise if you're not willing to fight the fight with everyone else, if you're not willing to stand up. And I don't, I know that that's a really, that's a weird issue, and that's why it's in, at the Supreme Court, okay? This is yeah, not a black and white issue, okay?
There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason this is at the Supreme Court. I'm not trying to make this a cut and dry thing. I you know, there's arguments on both sides here that are valid. However, they're wrong when it comes down to it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's got to be something. Okay, maybe it's not just a the other side is wrong, but there is.
I like that. Let's stick with that. You're wrong,
fuck 'em. It's not black and white, but you're wrong.
But basically, everything you're saying is bullshit. Right. Let's move on.
But for now, let's put it this way: for now, they're going to still continue being paid and having to pay in return. You know, it's not like union fees are really that fucking outrageous. When you have a good union job, you can afford your union fees. And
yeah, you pay $30 a month to get an extra $5 an hour. I think it works out okay. You
pay $30 a month to be able to afford to pay $30 a month.
Yeah, you get that's sick how it days. Works. You take a sick day during that month, and then you've got your union dues paid for by their work, by the workers' work.
Yep. Stand yeah. together or fall apart, folks. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. You got any other ones? You know, quick little. Fuck the scabs.
If you,
yeah, that's a good one. That's that American mantra. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that one. So, yeah, Wichita Vortex, a KPTS documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, everybody, you should go check that out. Our friend George is on that. George, you're probably the only one listening. So, George, make sure you go check out the documentary that you're on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do our part and let you know that you're in a documentary. I saw it on your Facebook page.
Yeah. I'm going to check it out. It looks good.
Yeah. Well, once I actually watch it, I'll make sure to share it on the CawCast page. That's CawCast, folks. K-A-W, not C-O-C-K.
That reminds me, I was going to bring up something that was on our CawCast page, but I already forgot what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll have to see.
It's on the page.
I don't know. Let's take a journey down memory lane. What did we post this week, Casey?
Who knows? I'm drunk half the time I'm asleep.
I spend most of my sleep time in nightmares, and then most of my wake time in nightmares. I don't know. You tell me.
Alright, let's look. Let's check it out. Check it out. Wow, we're up to 35 likes on Facebook, guys. Thanks. Huh. Thanks, everybody. Let's tell your friends to go ahead and unlike the page.
You don't have any friends. Fuck you.
You don't have any friends. Alright, how about some blatant corruption? Was that the one?
Chirari? That one is really good.
Oh, is it the Baphomet?
No, well,
because that's fucking awesome, folks. Why? We've always wanted a Baphomet bath mat, and now if you go to CawCast Back of the Truck at Cafe Press, you can buy a Baphomet bath mat. It's right there. Get out of the shower. There's the devil.
Yep. You can drip your beautiful smell upon him.
Yep.
No, let's cover that blatant corruption.
Oh, okay.
Because, that didn't get covered by anybody else.
So, Westboro Baptist Church founder Fred Phelps dead at 84.
Yeah, that was what I was going to bring up. That's what I wanted to bring up.
But he's been dead for a while. That's not news. When did you find that? March 26, 2014. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah,
you are on that.
Yeah, I think what it was it a... It came up in my memories. Remember that time? Good times.
Remember that time when Phelps died?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there was an update on the story or something.
So,
buttons.
Kansas legislators are paid $88.66 for each day they are in session. For the typical 90-day session, that amounts to 7,979. But when it comes to calculating their pensions, legislators add almost 78,000 to their salaries. 32,000 from multiplying their daily salary by 372, as though they worked each every day of the 12 months, each with 31 days.
Wait. $32,000. Okay, hold on. $32,982 from multiplying their daily salary by 372. As though they worked every day of 12 months, each with 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
$45,756 from adding the 123 per diem, also as though they worked 372 days a year. $7,083 from adding expense payments they get while they are not in session.
Yeah. So Senate President Stephen Moore says the pension formula is designed to make up for the low legislative salaries that are difficult to raise because of likely public opposition. So because they're doing such a great job that we won't give them a raise, they're like, oh, we can figure out a way around that. We'll just make our pensions look like we're making almost $100,000 a year.
Yeah, that's insane.
And so then they get, guess where their pension comes from? Capers. From the fucking public. The state employees' pension, the pension that they're robbing now to fucking pay their fucking debts. So they...
So not only are they stealing our money to pay for their own personal debts that they've racked up by fucking up the system, they're also stealing our money to pay for their own fucking bullshit.
Overinflating their pension.
Yeah.
Overinflating their pension by, let's see... They get paid $8,000, and okay, so they're basically taking their pension that they would deserve times 10. They'll just put an extra zero on the end for us. That'll work. Thank you.
Jesus, shit.
They're playing the long game, folks. They're not fucking around. Their pension is doing great. So there's some blatant corruption for you.
Absolutely, pause a fucking lootly. All right, I'd like to send a personal shout out to Joe Charang. Is that how you say that? I hope I didn't butcher that.
I don't know.
Oh, Charang. It looks like we have a mutual friend of Patsy Terrell. She's a great lady, Joe. I'm sending you a friend request as we speak. What's that? What are you saying, Lucas? He's the person that posted this in the first place. He's the person that gave us the information. He was sharing it to a group on Bookface about getting Brown back out of office. So, thank you, Joe.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shouts and out. I'm sorry to hear about your cat. That's really sad.
Yeah, we're sorry about your cat, dude. All joking aside.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously. That's...
We're that not even gonna make pussy jokes.
Not going there.
Yeah.
Alright, how about some good news? What's this? I see you have an IO9 tab pulled up. Let's go to that.
Oh, I don't know if that's going to be good news.
Oh, come on. Give me something.
Oh, you're right, it
is. Tell me something good.
First ever look at Bruce Timm's animated adaptation of The Killing Joke.
Bruce Timm is animating The Killing Joke.
Yeah,
and yes, guess what, everyone? Yes, it's Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill!
Fuck, the real
Batman and the Joker! The best Batman and the Joker, the only Batman and the Joker.
Yes.
And it's The Killing Joke. The Killing Joke is Adam Moore's epic, disgusting, fucking you want to talk about Batman going down the rabbit hole of darkness. This is it. No. Pull that sound up. I want to hear it. Fuck it.
Well,
you can take this out.
Okay. Well, fuck, folks. It's only 23 seconds long, but Casey's got to hear it with the sound on.
I want to fucking hear it. They're not going to... Fuck them. Nobody listens.
Yeah, fuck him. Oh, boy.
He's been in custody for 2 years.
This is fair reuse. We're going to add to it.
Yeah.
He's insane. It's a mistake to think you know what he'll do.
They're gonna let him out. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Yep. That's awesome. Yep. Does that not look just exactly like the fucking comic book?
Yep, except with that Bruce Timm like cleanness to it.
Oh man.
Because Adam Moore does, or I don't remember who it was Alan Moore wrote it, but I don't remember who illustrated it, but it doesn't have that clean look. Yeah. Oh, Bruce Timm. For those of you that don't know, Bruce Timm is the person that animated the Batman the Animated Series. So all of those cartoons that we grew up on, the Superman Animated Series, the Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, all of that stuff, the fact that we have Harley Quinn, that's all because of Bruce Timm. It's an incredible artist. Thank you, Bruce Timm.
Yeah, he's a badass. I like his stuff. I want to see who wrote the Killing Joke, who illustrated it.
Yeah.
Because I thought that it was him.
Brian Boland. Okay. No. Alan Moore doesn't draw anything.
No. I thought Bruce Timm...
Bruce Timm didn't come out on the scene until, like, that's way the later. Animated series is what really put him out there, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh. Yeah, I watched a graphic novel, or a motion comic, sorry, of The Killing Joke, and it was fucking great. I loved it. It was awesome. Boy, you know it'd be cool? Somebody made a motion comic.
Yeah, I'm working on it, baloney. Alright. He was the animator of Freakazoid! No shit! Oh, I loved that cartoon. Damn. That totally makes sense.
What else did he do? Tell us more.
Bruce Timm, before fame, he worked early in his career on the animated Warner Brothers series Tiny Toon Adventures. He originally wanted to be a comic book artist, and he completed some minor projects for DC Comics before concentrating on a career in animation instead. He is most notably, he's the creator of Batman the Animated Series, Freakazoid, and Superman the Animated Series.
I think that Batman the Animated Series really fucking solidified Batman's place, because there was like a generation that wasn't gonna give a shit about him, you know, because they were older, they didn't see, like, the, they were too young to enjoy fucking, what's his name? The ones from when we were a kid, you know?
What?
Batman movies.
The Tim Burton ones?
Yeah, and then there wasn't, you know, they had no way to identify with the 66 Batman or whatever, so it's like, those cartoons fucking, they just...
They were incredibly important to a whole world of people. Like, everyone my age and younger, that's the Batman that we know. That's the Batman that we relate to. I mean, regardless of the Michael Keatons and the George Clooneys and all that shit, like, it's Kevin Conroy's Batman that we know. That's the voice actor.
Well, yeah, and it did so much for the characters that it actually flowed back into comics.
Yeah.
You know, like Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn comes from the cartoon
and then
first.
She gets her own book at some point, you know? It's like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the most influential animated series of our generation. Well, superhero-wise, because you got, like, Simpsons and Family Guy and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But, like, superhero-wise, Batman animated series is by far... That's why... And that includes... You've got Justice League out there, which is a huge cartoon. You've got the X-Men 90s series, which was an incredibly influential series.
See, and I remember, like, when I was younger, I really liked that first Batman animated series, you know, where his jaw was more rounded.
The first season?
Yeah, uh-huh. And then they kind of got, like, more square-jawed, and the animation got more pointy, and I didn't like it as much. Like, I really liked the softer animation.
Well, after Batman the Animated Series, they moved to Batman and Robin the Animated Series, and then they moved to, I can't remember... There was some sort of extended Gotham,
yeah,
something, but then they did a Superman the Animated Series at around the same time. They did Batman Beyond shortly thereafter, which was set in the future.
And that one was really pointy animated too.
They started moving towards that stuff because Bruce Timm had a slight anime influence on his work. And as people caught on to that, they leaned heavy on the anime end of it.
Yeah. I'd like to say, too, for anybody who hasn't checked it out, that Batman Brave and the Bold is...
Oh, it's for a kid's cartoon? And this is definitely a kid's one. This is not an adult cartoon. But it is hilarious. Oh, yeah, this is what I'm saying. For a kid's cartoon, for one that is directed at children, this is a great one.
Keeps me
laughing the whole way through. The kids love it. It's totally kid-friendly. And it keeps if you like comic books at all, you'll love it. Because it's all the B and C characters that you never heard of. Or if you do know it, you're like, holy crap, I can't believe they put... Wildebeest or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
I love the one he goes back in time and it's just like a short little vignette that they start each episode with, but there's one where he's like hanging out with Sherlock Holmes, you know, just like that's how they start the episode, is him like leaving some other, you know, some other mystery or adventure. I don't know. It's great though. That one is just fucking solid all the way through. And there's a lot of really popular voice actors, like people who are popular in the cartoon animation world, but also like people who are just pop culture people, you know.
In the Batman series?
Yeah, Brave and the Bold.
Oh, in Brave and the Bold. Yeah. Gotcha. It's like Neil Patrick Harris, you were saying. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with superheroes, when you peel back the layer of voice actors out there, there's tons of people that would recognize their faces. You would recognize the work that they've done. So, hold on. Let's go back to, what were you doing? These Bernie Sanders beats. What is
your about here? Well, I wanted to see some of the voice actors on Brave and the Bold.
Oh.
But.
you're going to the
comic
book. Yeah. That's what it's based on.
That's cool. Uh-huh. Oh, well, fuck it.
Brave and the Bold is a comic book setup just like that cartoon was, where it was Batman with all of the other characters. Every week it was a little different.
Mm-hmm. This is a NPR article on April 1st.
Bernie Sanders, Beats by Dre, headphones, and Hot 97. But, I don't know what that means.
You know what Beats by Dre are?
Yes, okay. Headphones by Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Who is a wonderful producer of hip hop music?
So this is the second time he's been on a hip hop show, but he was on New York City's Hot 97 Ebro in the Morning.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Now I understand what those words mean.
Then he did his normal kind of thing, but you know, once again on a city's leading hip-hop station. So that was really cool. I can't remember the other one that he was on, but it was a New York station. And there's a nice YouTube video of that. You can check it out. But one of the Sanders press secretary, Simone Sanders, tweeted a photo of Sanders in a bright red pair of Beats by Dre. And the tweet's like a picture of him, you know, like sitting at the table, and it's like, happening now, Bernie Sanders in the studio at Hot 97 on Ebro in the morning.
Fuck. But said this was a April Fool's thing?
No, it's not an April Fool's thing. It was just happened on that.
Gotcha. I was going to say, because this looks pretty fucking legit to me. Nah, he looks like he's sitting down having a conversation with some brothers.
Yeah, and it's just cool, though, to see, like, you know, he's just super fucking mellow.
Oh, of course he is. I want everyone to go back and look at all of the old footage that you can find on Bernie Sanders, because the guy's been the same dude this entire time. The only thing that's changed about Bernie Sanders is he looked weirder back then because nobody gave a fuck. Now people are now he's starting to look normal because people are starting to wise up.
You know, he's like, it's so funny that he started like combing his hair and shit. You know?
Really funny.
I think it's great.
I think it honestly started bugging him that like he became iconic because of the hair.
Yeah.
Because like everywhere you look, he's got there's the silhouette of the messy hair, and that's what people see. But now, for the last couple months at least, every time he's on anything, that shit is. That is kept. It is very nicely done.
It's funny too, because it reminds you of, like, the guy that sat on the couch telling everybody the truth for a really long time finally went out and got a square job.
All right, I'll go get the presidency.
The funniest part of Bernie rocking the Beats by Dre's is then this dude from The Atlantic tweeted, "What's the mixtape gonna be called?" And so then everybody started dropping them. The Free Education of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Let's see. Straight Out of Burlington.
Straight Out of Burlington. I love it.
Good Kid, Mad Socialist. Weekend at Bernie's.
Nice. Bernie Sprite 2.
Yeah.
Truth Bombs.
Puns combining Sanders' platform and classic rap lyrics.
Cursing down the street in my 6-4, taxing the rich, helping the po. Yeah, I'm
good job
ruining that, butchering
this. Awesome.
You can just mix that. I feel a gift coming on.
Yep. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You want to hear something funny? You think it's bad in Kansas, that's but funny. Then we can go look over in Missouri. From the
No. Hold on. Missouri's fucked. Missouri's stupid. Missouri's racist. Missouri's Missouri. We've always made fun of Missouri. But there is we have no right as Kansans right now in history to be saying, "Oh, things are fucked up here." However, no. No.
Well.
We can't even look at Florida and say they're fucked anymore.
Just check out their problems. The Daily Cause, always great. They do Missouri and Kansas stuff, but the headline on this one is "Lawmaker snaps, files bill demanding fellow lawmakers quit using physical when they mean fiscal."
Holy shit. Are you serious?
Yep. State representative from St. Louis, unable to take it any longer, has filed a resolution asking her colleagues in the House of Representatives to please stop using the word physical when talking about Missouri's fiscal needs. Whereas, on occasion, members of the Missouri House of Representatives have used the word physical instead of fiscal when referring to fiscal matters, including but not limited to fiscal review and fiscal notes. Begins House Resolution 1220, offered by Representative Tracy McCreary. So, if you want to read the full House resolution to ask them to stop using a word inappropriately.
I do. Marrying that bitch.
I love...
That's me scrambling over everything to get to the PDF.
I love this quote from her real quick, though. She says, "There are a lot of reasons to be depressed about the Missouri legislature, and this just kind of piles on." This is a really short law. It's the kind of thing that's only 10 lines
House long. Resolution number 1220, 98th General Assembly, introduced by Representative McCreary. God bless you, McCreary. Whereas, on occasions, members of the Missouri House of Representatives have used the word physical instead of fiscal when referring to fiscal matters, including but not limited to fiscal reviews and fiscal notes. And, whereas, the use of proper terminology is important to our legislative process. Now, therefore, it be resolved that we, the members of the Missouri House of Representatives, 98th General Assembly, hereby urge the members of Missouri House of Representatives to use the word fiscal instead of physical when referring to fiscal matters, you fucking morons." I added that fucking morons part of, just to clarify.
Yeah, I don't know whether they passed the resolution or not.
It's 10 lines long.
I know. This is the kind of law you can actually get behind because you can read it all and understand it.
This is the way laws should be written.
I know.
Right here.
I don't care if there's hundreds of them, as long as they actually get something done and you can read it and figure out what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I'll vote on it every day. I'll vote on shit every fucking day. I don't care. I just want to understand it. Transparency, folks. That's what we need. Transparency in bureaucracy.
Yeah, so I'd like to, yeah, I'd like to see whether that one passes or not.
Eat evils and bikinis.
So, we're talking earlier about news that does not get covered.
Nudes don't get covered. That's sort of the nature of the nude. Is to not be covered. Hence the nudity.
I'm a never nude.
A never nude? Really?
Yeah.
Do you go for the...
I'm always in jean shorts.
You go for the denim. That's interesting that you confess this, because I'm actually a never clothed. My clothes are actually an illusion. I'm actually perpetually nude. It's a light. It's a dense light projection. It's really... I had to pay a lot for the technology, but I'm actually perpetually naked. And completely shaven. This is all an illusion as well.
I'm also completely hairless.
Smooth as a baby's bottom.
Smooth as a hooker's anus.
Hey, that's fairly... Hold on. Depends on the hooker. All right, moving forward. Endangered Indiana bat?
Yeah,
We have a bat on campus.
Well, bat. This is the funny thing.
On KU campus.
This apparently is a Cawcast exclusive. Wow. No one else is reporting this.
Hold on. Damn it.
No, that's depressing.
Damn it.
Cawcast exclusive.
There we go. Well, I'll be sure to cut that in. All right. We got there. So... fuck it.
No, tell me about the bat. Tell me about the bat, man.
Right on. So here's the deal with this bat,
man. Dude.
Oh. Guy that might, I might, okay, sorry, might tell you, bet, might tell
I you. I parasite to tell you, damn it, I'm not good at wordplay.
Bat might,
come I'm on. Better at physical play. All right.
I'm better at roughhousing. In the nude.
You know.
Yeah.
It's Greek. All right.
So.
Tell me about this bat.
Well, okay.
Louisville Gas and Electric?
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
Related?
No, yeah, it's not. That's okay. The only thing that came up, and it is not at all related to what's going on.
Okay,
and,
sorry.
So, on, up on KU campus in Lawrence fucking Kansas, there is, they just demolished a big-ass building. McCollum Hall.
Yeah, it looks really nice over there now, and I wasn't expecting to say that, but it really opens that whole area up.
They're gonna build a big-ass fucking building there, it doesn't matter. All that shit's gonna be big-ass buildings again.
I thought they were just, no, they already built the buildings.
No. There's way a bunch of buildings.
God damn it!
No, fuck that. There's more buildings to come.
Damn it, Krieger!
Alright. So, in the rubble of McCollum Hall, while that's sitting there in a pile, they're starting to take apart what used to be the Stouffer Place apartments, which were low-income, like, family housing, and a lot of, like, international families lived in there. So they're taking all that out. They're going to build a parking garage, student-athlete housing, and international housing. I don't know where the families are supposed to live on campus anymore. I don't think they're going to do that.
Dude, you don't deserve don't think a family and education.
Yeah, you got to pick one or the other. Really,
we should really look into it before mind. Just speculating that they're not going to have family housing. But
yeah.
I'm guessing that the rich people don't care about the poor.
Yeah, I'm going to guess too.
Betting on that.
Yep. If I was a betting man, that's where I'd put my money that I don't have to bet.
Well put, sir. But anyhow,
so they're taking apart these Stouffer apartments, which are like really fucking old.
I've moved people in and out of those places, and which is weird because it's usually people that they're really old. They were like, I've lived in some shitty apartments, folks. These were like prison cells. that you had access, that weren't locked.
They
you know?
Look like probably like 70s or 60s built. Like they're like
oh old no, shit. At best 60s. Yeah they were old and just bricks. I mean, we're talking cinder blocks. I mean, like it was kind of depressing. Yeah. Like they had nice big yards and everything, and like the neighbors were nice. Like you had family housing, so I mean, like for the most part, they've gotten along and everything, but. God damn, you had to spruce these places up to make them look, like, livable.
Yeah, I had a friend
it was like too. They were living somewhere else besides the United States.
Ugh. Yeah. So anyway, they start taking these places apart. Meanwhile, important part of the story, the rubble from McCollum Hall is still in a huge-ass pile.
Rubble.
And what happens is, inside of the... of the attics of these Topher Place apartments, a enormous colony of bats was living.
Holy shit, really? Enormous colony.
An enormous colony.
That actually kind of creeps me out. Bats don't creep me out, but enormous colonies of anything kind of creep me out.
What's interesting is that this species of bat is endangered. Okay, and this is, it's so weird to me that there isn't a story about this anywhere.
That's what we're doing, Luke. We're the ones doing the story.
I know, but I don't.
You're in the middle
of
it.
I'm like,
you're like, I can't believe that we're covering
this. No, I just, we should do work as journalists if we're going to be the only ones covering something. I know, that's what I'm saying.
And we're not getting paid, folks. By the way, 30 likes, something like that? You can do better than that.
We don't ever ask people to like our stuff.
Well, I'm asking now.
But the only people who listen to it are probably already liked it. Anyway. Or they're getting it on our
share.
RSS feed.
Share, people. Please. If you hate your friends and neighbors, share.
If you hate the world around you, share.
Find your... Hey, do you ever want to offend your parents?
Is it too much trouble to date a black guy? Well, listen to the podcast.
Send them a link to this one. They'll love it.
Yeah, anyway. My mom was like, yeah, I need to get caught up. I'm like, nah, you shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, it's all right. It's terrible. Don't listen.
Nope, mom. Don't worry about it. Now, that's all that's going to do is, egg her on.
Maybe. Probably.
By the way, Luke's mom's birthday is April Fool's.
Yeah. No joke.
It's the only reason I can remember it. But
what's your mom's birthday?
Not a clue. It's December 15th, 16th. It's December 17th, I want to say. I'm almost positive. December it's right 17th. Around there. I'm just bad with numbers. The only reason I remember your mom's is because it's April 1st. Come on.
I know.
That's pretty
is.
Easy to remember.
It really makes it easy. I can't ever excuse or forget it. Anyway, back to the bats. So this endangered Indiana bat, Myotis sodalis.
Myotis sodalis.
Yeah, it's been endangered since 67, and it's nice. almost extinct now because
awesome.
Because of suffering from a disease.
Oh, that's gross. Diseases.
I think it's some kind of mite or something.
Ew.
They hibernate in tight clusters, though.
Ew.
So what happened was...
We're seeing pictures of these little clusters of fucking bats. That's just disgusting. Like I said, colonies of anything.
If you... And you can kind of look on their range of where they live, and they're listed as living in Missouri all the way up to Wisconsin and then kind of over into... Around the Great Lakes region.
So it's really odd that their habitat has shifted all this way west.
Yeah, they've gone a little bit west.
Or at least maybe not odd, but it's surprising to find them in Kansas. And especially, yeah, we're not even on the list of places where they should be right here on this website we've got.
And this is the Forest and Wildlife Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service. So this is
maybe
the official.
Mail these motherfuckers. Connect with us right there. Hit those bitches up and
be like, hey, you know about them?
By the way,
on the KU campus,
and we just looked stuff up, and you are the ones that seem to know about
people,
this.
Yeah, the only people who seem to give a shit, other than me, and I'll credit at the end of this article where I found out about it too.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, no, we gotta stay on topic. We keep digressing. That's the classic mistake that we make. Anyway, so what's since 2006? This white nose syndrome is the illness that's killed a bunch of them. White nose? A million bats since 2006. And I guess it's some kind of like fungus or something. Yeah, they're fucking cokeheads.
Some white fungus that surrounds their nostril area. Like, yeah.
Cocaine.
Yeah, so what's really interesting, though, is that...
We're getting to an interesting part.
Well, not really.
I'm kidding. This is very interesting.
So they find these bats, and they're trying to... They're trying to get them... Yeah, I'm all whacked out on Twizzlers.
I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew,
motherfucker. I'm gonna come at you like a squirrel monkey. Yeah, so they're trying to get these bats out of this attic. Mm-hmm. They're at least nice enough not to kill them all. But what happens is they start disturbing shit, and, you know, the bats are like, holy fuck, everything's going to hell, you know, because they're yanking walls out and shit. And then, yeah, the bats, then they all go and roost and hide in the rubble of McCollum Hall. So then they have to stop getting rid of the rubble of McCollum Hall to figure out what they're going to do with the bats. They're trying to roost them out of there and figure out what to do with the bat habitat.
Luke, you just broke a story. No, I'm dead serious. There's a reason that the media hasn't got a hold of this. KU doesn't want people to get a hold of this.
I know, that's why they don't. That's why I should protect my source.
Okay, then maybe you should protect your source, okay? That's kind of fucked up. Oh, God, I'm laughing because of the outrageousness. It's like, hey, look, there's corruption right in front of us. And it's not blatant. I mean, it's blatant, but it's not malicious.
It's just kind of, it'd be nicer if it was under the rug. It's a headache need.
No. Well, exactly. It's not like there's any group of people that are like, let's go kill some bats.
Yeah, not malicious is what we're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're just like, God damn it. Look at this giant headache. We just wanted to have a project. And... Yeah, dude, that's life.
Yeah.
Life, you want to make God laugh? Show him your plans.
Oh, and this is like classic fucking outrage in Lawrence, because there is so many fucking animal-loving, tree-hugging motherfuckers in this town. Like,
but the rich KU people in this town is all about progress. Oh, it's all about making bigger, more...
Bigger, better cash, money.
Yeah, what he said. So, wow. So, folks... I would recommend, well, don't send this. No, maybe do your own research.
No, I got an idea. let's do
Okay, no, share this. Can we clip this out? Maybe we can clip this out.
No, here's my idea. We'll do this story, but let's do some more research and then do it as a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And our first YouTube video could actually be a story.
That'd be kind of neat.
And then we can send that to the fish and wildlife people and to the fucking...
I'm going to have to reprogram the fucking... my cloaking device to look more trimmed and whatnot. Spruce it up.
I don't know. I don't think we have to look nice. I think...
Oh, that's true. We have ideas.
I think the point is...
If I trim my content. Beard, it just shows the ugly more.
Yeah, there you go. Good plan. But now, by the time we release this, maybe we can have a YouTube video done. Maybe it'll be posted at the same time as this, and you'll be like, holy shit, there's a YouTube video where they don't look like idiots.
Yeah, that's right. Click the link in the doobly-doo, folks.
Yeah. Or on the Cockass shared thing. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And we have a merchandise store. You can get a Baphomet bath mat. Get Cockass stationery.
True.
If you are feeling angry about something in your state, you could get a shirt that says Fuck Sam. But it's got a little star and an at symbol where the U and C are, so you can wear it in public and not feel like you have a curse word on you.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can get a nice, all the shirts are made from organic cotton. You can get a nice organic cotton tote bag.
In case that shit matters to you.
Yeah, I could have put it on nasty stuff, but I thought, you know, it would be kind of silly to be who we angry are, at then, the capitalist yeah. libertarian oh, totally guy right. and then try to make money off of him.
Absolutely, positively.
With shitty stuff. So but if you want a really cheap Cawcast shirt, we got the definitely value pack Cawcast shirts all day long.
Holy crap, this is the best Bernie fucking meme I've seen in ages.
In ages. And Bernie meme ages is like 2 hours.
Cause no, there's like in the entire, like, 9 months of this, it says the cause is right and the time is now, but it shows this young man, and I mean young, like 8, with his fist straight oh, up nice. In the air. Little ginger fuck, boy. Yeah. Little, and what looks like a very proud mother or grandmother standing behind him. Or maybe just some random lady. But this young man is incredibly... Wow. Just... Wow. Yeah, I admit, I'm on the book face.
So, yeah, the...
find something.
I guess the only... the source, as far as I can say on the Bat story, is a KU employee.
Sure. I'm not worried about that now that we actually know that there's an actual story. Like, yeah, you can tell me off the air if you want to.
Yeah.
But no, we you shouldn't...
Probably shouldn't divulge sources, because, yeah.
Not when there's a real story.
That person wouldn't want to catch headache? Any heat.
Wouldn't want a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know how much KU hates headaches. And working for KU is a fucking headache, so they don't need any more. That's coming from a former employee, not from my source. That's coming from me, as a former employee of the food service wing of KU. So, yeah, I guess we're gonna have to do a bunch of research on the fucking bad thing and make a YouTube video. Boy, didn't you like that YouTube video we did, folks?
It was awesome.
That was almost professional.
It was professional-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Professional-ish.
Ooh!
Folks, send us in tweets to hashtag Cawcast. That's K-A-W-C-A-S-T, not C-O-C-K-A-S-S. It's a very different thing. We keep getting people... There's a lot of confusion. It's K-A-W-C-A-S-T, Cawcast. You typed it in at some point to get to this.
Maybe, or clicked on the word at some point.
Yeah, I would assume that you've at least seen it spelled out.
Unless you're hearing this on one of our pirate radio stations, I
guess. Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, send us in, hashtag Cawcast, if you would like to hear, which Dr. Seuss novella you would like to hear me, dictate. Because that should be fun. Which small Dr. Seuss? I'm not talking Lorax-y here. We're not getting into Hortons and Who's and things of that nature. Just the little ones. Fox and Soxes.
Why?
Green Eggs and Hams. Because why not?
Okay.
Are you kidding?
We've had some bad ideas before.
No, this takes no, the kick. No. This is a great one. Are you kidding? Here, let's just pull one up right now.
Okay, well, I got an idea.
Because Seuss, that's why.
That would be a good thing to do for voice acting. Probably said no one ever. Yeah. It's just read Dr. Seuss lines.
Yep. Lines from Dr. Seuss books. Not today.
What do you think about this Donald Trump's, the mysterious lapel pins that Trump staffers wear?
I am Sam. Sam, I am. That Sam, I am. See, this could get real bad real quick. In fact, I think it just has. And so, yeah. Send us in. But, you know.
I will read Dr. Seuss.
No, no, no. It's a guarantee.
Don't respond.
So, I don't know about this mysterious pin. Edumacate me on it. Well, son of a hooker with a penis.
Hey.
Hey, you. I'm making a Tool reference.
Hey.
Maybe I was making a tool reference. Oh, maybe. So there really is a little pin that this is real?
Yeah.
So it's this upside down triangle, and by upside down I mean it seems like an equilateral triangle, maybe a little bit elongated, but it points down and is purple on one half, white on the other, splitting it right down the middle, and then there appears to be it appears to be like a gold ring around it.
Well, I think that was just for effect.
Okay. Small badge, and I'm quoting here from, what is this, Voctiv.com?
Mm-hmm. Vocative.
Vocative, V-O-C-A-T-I-V. You can't mistake it. The small badge is an upside-down, triple-overlapping, half-purple, and half-gold triangle. Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, has been photographed sporting the insignia the most often, and wears it in his Twitter profile photo, but several other aides have also been captured with the pin. I'm intrigued. Oh, yeah, there he is with the pin again. Yeah. But no Trump. Trump's not wearing it. Just his supporters.
Well, it's his, specifically his aides. Inner circle folks.
Voctiv dug through the photos of Trump staffers from media appearances and events since the campaign began. Our earliest sightings was on December 1st, 2015, when Lewandowski wore the pin to a meeting with black pastors. So what does the emblem mean? Hope Hicks... sorry, that was confusing. Good job, guys. So what does the emblem mean? Hope Hicks, Trump's campaign manager, communications director, told Voctiv neither she nor Lewandowski would explain why aides wear the pin. Well, that's odd that she would out and this. Yeah, that's odd that she would out and out say we're not going to explain. Huffington Post reporter Elliot Nelson, who called out the pin in a recent tweet, suggested the image might help Secret Service identify Trump staffers. But even if that's true, why use an icon resemblant of triangle images associated with secret societies? Ha! That's an interesting question, I suppose. David Graham, a professor, I never know how to say that, emeritus?
Mm-hmm.
I never know how to say it because I read and I don't actually go to college. David Graham, a professor emeritus at Concordia University and the editor of International Society for Emblem Studios newsletter, told Vocative he couldn't tell what the emblem means, but did say it reminded him of something. The use of the pink triangle badges by Nazis to identify homosexuals as one of several different colored badges worn by prisoners in camps is well known, of course, but hardly seems likely to be the source of the pin. You know, and odd as it seems, that's exactly what I thought too when I saw it. I thought it looked weirdly like the pink triangle. It's just purple on one side and white or yellowish on the other side. Another emblem expert immediately made the same comparison, but also dismissed the connection. And that's how I feel, and I don't know about expert, but I'm incredibly obsessed with iconography, personally, folks, as Casey, myself, saying that. pardon. And so... Oh, God. That's how they feel about how I'm about to pronounce this. Sabine Mothersheim. Mothersheim, a University of Wisconsin. Is that like an Indian accent on a German word? I'm not sure.
Well, it's it's one of those things where Mothersheim. It's a German last name with a Middle Eastern first name.
Sabine Mothersheim, University of Wisconsin professor who also serves the executive community. Serves on the executive committee of the International Society for Emblem Studies. Quite obviously, there couldn't be a connection to the pink triangle that homosexual prisoners were forced to wear in World War II concentration camps that was used in ACT UP and gay pride logos, given Lewandowski's background. While Lewandowski reportedly assaulted journalist Michelle Fields, there is no evidence proving he personally disparaged anyone in the LGBT community. But Mothersheim said she was referring to Lewandowski's prior association with the Americans for Prosperity, a conservative advocacy organization which has funded the campaigns of several politicians who actively oppose gay rights. Well, okay, duh, that makes sense. Upon a closer inspection, Mothersheim pointed out the color scheme. Split colors are commonly
Common in heraldry.
Split colors, quotes, take that from the top, quote, split colors are common in heraldry, sometimes signifying the union of two lines or families. As to the choice of colors, my guess would be that they tried to allude to the Trump gold logos and some vague association with wealth and royalty in the purple, she said. End quote. Or end quote, she said. But she also thinks it could be an homage to more recent iconography. Vaughn and McCollum's uncle badges were way cooler, even the Star Trek insignia badge. I'm wondering, could there be some collective memory at work, perhaps unconsciously, she said. It just looks like a bad piece of 80s geometric junk jewelry. Mm-hmm. And now that's the most, right there, and that's the end of the story, but that's the most poignant piece of the entire thing. It's an ugly thing. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that it's tacky. Yeah. That yeah, it's tacky and that none of us should ever fucking wear something like that. Regardless of the fascism, that's just tacky, folks. Don't do that. You. You. And I like hat pins. I like pins. I like lapel pins. I'm okay with that. You. Give me my triangle back. Give me my triangle back, you fascist prick.
Yeah, there isn't really, there really isn't much about this. I looked around and couldn't find anything about the thing.
Huh, yeah, that is an interesting one. I've never noticed that. Yeah, I don't know.
I found something on it. Where? It's so weird.
Yeah, I've got another article on it from IndependentJournalReview.com?
Yeah.
What's the meaning of the purple and gold triangle pin that most of the Trump camp wears to his speeches and appearances? Oh, there is a video that makes it seem like it's Illuminati stuff that mm-hmm. we could watch if you wanted.
I don't.
And is that really where the story ends? I really hate the new media because... Not, I don't hate the new media. I hate the way these clickbait fucking things are. Yeah. That's it. No, they're just saying, oh, there's a video that makes it that seem like Illuminati, and nobody knows. End of story. Great article, folks! Yeah. I mean, I know we're not given much, but we're at least trying.
Well, that's the thing, is like, here's something, here's a mystery. Nobody knows what that's about.
End of story.
And it could be something stupid like, you know... I mean, Donald Trump's the guy who sells his name to hotel chains, so, I mean, it's just... Who knows what kind of fucking pyramid scheme he sold those idiots on.
You know, if we're gonna go, like... Because this does seem like an Illuminati-esque thing, and I know that we're not those folks, even though we have a long history of, you know, looking into it, laughing, and having a whole lot of fun reading about it.
I do like the question, and I would like to know the answer. Is Donald Trump a Freemason? Do we know that about him?
Mm.
Because that's, not like it really matters too much. I'm just, out of random curiosity. Let's ask Google.
Yeah.
Okay, Google. Is Donald Trump a Freemason? Oh, Jesus Christ. The very first thing that pulls up
mm-hmm.
is Stormfront. That's gross. Shame on you, Google. Do you not know what Stormfront is? Oh, that's nasty, nasty, nasty. What do you call them? Neo-Nazis.
Mm. They don't like Trump?
Oh, no, it's probably them, like, fact-checking, you know. Well, we sure like what he's saying, but is he an Illuminati? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Donald Trump, the devil's run for the White House, blah, 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 blah. They're not telling us anything. Blah, 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 blah. Most influential. Blah, blah, blah. No, I want an honest answer, not some of this bullshit. Like, I want an actual...
There isn't much, anything on it.
I guess when you fucking start asking questions like that, that's what you get.
Well, folks, I do think that we've pondered the abyss today. Anything else on the old agenda?
There's definitely some more... Some more stories. There's a lot of them. Why don't we just say fuck off? Or
let's
watch Loki deliver the news.
Really? Tom Hiddleston delivers a weather forecast and promptly blames Thor. Well, now that's just a wonderful... Is this a April Fool's thing? No sound.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, so we can get that lovely tenor of Tom Hiddleston or whatever the fuck his name is.
Tom Hiddleston.
Loki. That's his name.
All right, welcome back. We're taking a look at Tornado yesterday north of Tulsa. This one touched down. 7 people were injured there.
That's all right, Tornado. It's okay.
Not too bad, Oklahoma.
Yeah. I'll give you a nod.
No, that's a decent one. I'll give it a 5. Not like an F5, just like a 5 out of 10.
In the event that we have all of the intense thunderstorms coming here, that we go to Loki, who is, of course, Thor's brother, to talk about the bad weather coming in here. So Loki, what have we got there?
Well, you know, my brother from another mother's been misbehaving. The God of Thunder has brought his...
Well, I'll be damned.
His skill set to bear on the local weather, should I say. So there is this huge storm front coming in, and all that means is that Chris Hemsworth has taken his hammer, he's smashed it on the surface of the sky, and it's going to rain a hell of a lot.
It's going to rain a hell of a lot.
Loki with the weather there, Tom. That was terrific. Yes,
thank you very much.
Hopefully, Thor's hammer will not come down too hard on us this afternoon. There is the rip.
Oh, hopefully, folks, that's just, all right, that's just absolutely fantastic. And that was a great way to wrap it up, and I think we're probably going to have to tell you goodnight, and fuck the fuck off. Luke, what do you say?
I say goodnight and fuck off.
All right, fuck
Sounds
off, folks.
Sounds delicious.
Until next time, don't forget to like and share with your neighbor.
Yeah. And really, it doesn't matter if you like and share us if you don't tell other people that they have to like us, too.
Don't forget to like and share your needles. Mm-hmm. All right, gotta go.